Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals, providing knowledge that is moving medicine forward. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to UAB Medcast. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we have such an interesting discussion about airbag vests in equestrian sports. Are they doing more harm than good? Joining me, we have a panel with Dr. Sarah Gould. She's a sports medicine physician in the Department of Orthopedic Surgery and a professor at UAB Medicine. And Dr. Kevin Schrum, he's a research scientist in the Department of Mechanical and Materials Engineering, also at UAB Medicine. Doctors, thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Gould, as I said in my intro, this is a really interesting topic. It's not something people have even really considered, but I'd like you to explain a little bit about these air vests. How do they work and what's the evolution? I've not seen them before.
We know that equestrian sports are associated with really high injury rates, on par with powered two-wheel sports or motorcycles. There's a fairly significant injury rate associated with this sport. So we're always looking for ways to enhance safety equipment. You know, we've talked about helmets before. This is a piece of safety equipment that has come out relatively recently. And the idea is there is a vest and it's attached by a lanyard to a saddle. When the rider is thrown from the horse in the event of a fall, it detaches and there's a quick inflation. There are these canisters, air canisters, attached to the vest that will release very quickly. And the idea is that it will inflate and provide some type of protection to the rider when they hit the ground. Unfortunately, we've started seeing injuries being reported associated with the vest. We haven't had any good literature describing how these actually work in pediatrics. And there's a lot of hypotheses going around about how these may actually be conferring injury. So instead of, we hear the term fail safe a lot, these are fail dangerous, meaning when they don't work, they're actually more dangerous than not having a vest.
That's so interesting. Now, Dr. Gould, sticking with you for a minute, where does most of the information about them come from? Where are we getting that information and you're reporting some of these statistics and how they work? Where's that information coming from?
We use research databases like PubMed. We recently published a literature review. We looked at information coming out of Europe, and then we looked at the United States. A lot of the papers that we reviewed were based on trauma registries, individuals' hospitals, as well as pooled national data.
Dr. Schrum, as I understand it, you have expertise in airbags in cars, in safety in general. Tell us a little bit about how this is sort of similar to airbags, because the way that Dr. Gould describes it, it sounds similar to what we would say as a personal airbag or a, you know, an individual not attached to some big piece of machinery. But how is this different than airbags?
First, I can start with how they're similar. So when you're in a car crash and you need the airbag to deploy, it has to deploy within somewhere between 10 and 20 milliseconds in order for it to be effective. That's how quickly your body moves through the cabin of your vehicle and collides with the steering column or the door on your left or on your right or wherever it might be. So these airbags have to deploy incredibly rapidly. And so there's an explosive inflation from CO2 cartridges, and they're actually very dangerous, the material within themselves, if you're actually working on them like as a mechanic. You have to be very careful about detaching the battery so there isn't an accidental deployment. It's a very dangerous situation, but they're designed specifically for that use, a rapid deployment. And with the air vest for an equestrian rider, you need something similar. You have to have a rapid deployment in order for that bag to fill and be in position when you hit the ground or when you collide with whatever objects there might be after you've fallen off the horse. The main difference, though, is that an airbag in a car deploys separate and independent of your body. It's an external thing that presents itself that you then collide with. An airbag in an air vest envelops you. It surrounds you. So it induces an enormous amount of pressure around your body in that instantaneous deployment. As Dr. Gould mentioned, there are opportunities for internal injuries as a result of this rapid inflation, this rapid exertion of pressure on the body. But there are also potential issues with how it changes the stiffness profile of your body right now you have a relatively flexible skeletal system, but the airbag itself causes your spinal cord or your spine in general to be a lot more rigid, to be more protected. But then that just shifts kind of the point of load to the area where the airbag is no longer covering you, your pelvis, for example. So it's just a question of shifting the location of injuries rather than preventing them. So those are the kind of two fundamental differences. An airbag in a car provides a landing pad or a cushion. An airbag in a vest is much more suffocating.
Dr. Shrum, when I picture what you were just describing in my head, for some reason I am picturing adults. We know that children aren't allowed to sit in the front seat, right? Unless they're a certain size and weight, because airbags come with such force. Do these air vests, especially if they're being worn, and Dr. Gould is going to tell us about children specifically, but do these have that kind of force when they open that if a child lands on them, it could collapse a lung or do some physical damage to the chest tissue, bones, musculature?
You mentioned a really good point. We don't allow children to sit in the front seat for a number of reasons, one of them being that airbags deploy at a speed of close to 200 miles per hour when they come out of their encapsulated modules. That's an enormous speed. And it's a cloth that's filled with air, but it is relatively solid, and it has to be solid. Otherwise, it's not really doing anything. Like if it was just a relatively semi-inflated bag, you would still just go through the inflated bag and hit your steering column or hit the dashboard. So it has to be fairly strong. So you have a 200 mile an hour object coming at a small child. We don't allow that. With the airbag system in the vest, we have a kind of another problem. As you mentioned, you're thinking about adults. Adults have a fully formed skeletal structure. Their bones are more rigid. Dr. Gould can speak to this more than I can, but the body of a child is much more pliable. So when you have an external pressure applied to something that's a little bit less stiff, it has a tendency to react to that by collapsing or by compressing with the airbag. So it's something you have to be aware of when you're looking at these things. And I haven't really seen any air vests that have varying degrees of pressure, maybe less pressure for a small child, more for an adult. But if you have less pressure, it kind of defeats the purpose of the air vest.
Correct. As Kevin was mentioning, I think that it's really critical, the last point he just made, the air vests don't come in pediatric sizes. And if they've been researched on pediatric ATDs or crash test dummies, that data isn't available to the general public. And I think that's problematic because for all the reasons that Dr. Shrum just mentioned, but in addition to that, we talked about that lanyard and the detaching mechanism, and there's a certain amount of force that is required, right? Because you don't want it coming off and inflating accidentally. So there's a certain amount of force that is required to detach the lanyard. Well, if you have a pediatric patient or pediatric sized individual who's using one of these, is their body even going to generate enough force? And at what point in their fall trajectory is it going to generate enough force? And what I mean by that is one of the concerns that we have is riders can fall from a horse. And if they are too close to the horse's feet, if their fall trajectory is altered by being attached to the horse so that they now land closer to the horse's feet, is this going to increase a child's chance or risk of being trampled by the horse? Because instead of launching further away, they're now being kind of tied to the animal and falling and detaching at a much later time than an adult with a larger mass would have detached.
That really would seem to be a huge problem. So, Dr. Gould, you would consider these vests not safe for children to wear. And you just described how things can go wrong. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen. And I think you have a patient story to tell us.
Yeah, as I've been doing this research, people have been reaching out and sharing stories of being injured by the vests. And I think we want these to work. We want there to be safety equipment, but there's sort of a vacuum and the manufacturers haven't provided any data saying that it is safe or that the benefits outweigh the risks that we've discussed. This story that I have a patient who, or not a personal patient, but that an individual wrote in to describe She basically wrote me and said, I'll read an excerpt here. One afternoon in late December, my horse spooked and scooted his hind end out from under me. I fell to the left and fell on my hip. My body did not hit the ground until after I had landed. This is the type of fall that I've had many times where I usually get up and brush myself off and get back on. This time, after my air vest had gone off, I was unable to catch my breath and felt as if a ton of bricks had just landed on my chest. Eventually, I was able to take very shallow breaths and I knew something was very wrong. I drove myself to the hospital where I had x-rays and MRI and eventually a chest tube placed because it was discovered that I had suffered a punctured lung. All the doctors were perplexed that I had a punctured lung but no broken ribs. We came to the conclusion that during my fall, the air vest had erupted, pushing my ribs into my left lung, causing a puncture wound. I ended up spending 4 days in the hospital. So I think this kind of underscores that some of the concerns that we have about these air vests that we've discussed are actually happening to people.
Wow, that's quite a story. And that's what I was picturing when Dr. Shrum was talking about it. And I would think that lungs and the whole chest cavity is really at risk. I want you each to have a final thought on this topic here. And Dr. Shrum, if you were to think of safety equipment recommendations for equestrians, or parents, adults, and even involving children, knowing safety and equipment as you do. And we think about the safety equipment in youth sports today, which is, I don't feel as an exercise physiologist, is always very adequate. Helmets are a little bit, people get confused whether or not they really do prevent concussion. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. So I'd like you, as the safety expert, to please give us some really quality information about the safety of these air vests and what you think would be a better design, a better way, some way that we could keep our kiddos and people riding horses safer.
The bottom line is that this was an attempt by a safety company or an industry to mitigate a type of injury that they were seeing when people fall off a horse, which is admirable. But to do so without proper testing or vetting or providing that information publicly so that people like Dr. Gould and other medical experts can weigh in on them, I think that's a mistake. It should be provided so that we could all look at that. But the idea of an airbag in a vest in and of itself, I think is actually a very good idea. The problem, though, is the execution of it. I think it was just rushed through a little bit without thinking of the repercussions or the unintended consequences where you're shifting the blame, basically. You can think of it like a weak link analysis. I do weak link analysis all the time in highway safety business that I work in. If you fix one link and make it strong, then the next weakest link will fail in the chain, and so on and so forth. And so if we use an air vest to protect against one injury, we might be introducing another one, which is kind of what Dr. Gould described with her story. I think the proper way of doing this is to look at the individual circumstances. First of all, recognize that everyone's different, which is going to be impossible to design for every individual person, but we can at least look at different demographics. We know that children are different than adults. We know that male riders are probably different than female riders. Things of those natures. And age plays a big role in this as well. Our seniors are going to have less bone density than people in the prime of their life. So there are just variations that I think can be considered. And you can use those differences to help guide your design. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. You can create an airbag that doesn't have as much internal pressure, but does have more volume, if that makes sense. Like instead of having a relatively thin bag, you have a bag that expands more, so you have a larger cushion, like a giant pillow, as opposed to something that's a little bit thinner with the airbag that we currently have in the vests. So you can kind of tailor what the actual pressure is while still maintaining a certain degree of energy absorption by increasing your overall stroke level, kind of adhering to Newton's laws of motion and the definition of work in physics. Energy equals force times distance. So if you have more distance, you don't need as much force. And with less force, we have less of a propensity for things like collapsed lungs and punctured lungs.
Wow, you're giving us a great physics lesson here, Dr. Shrum, taking me back to graduate school. But I agree with you, and I think it's an interesting prospect and thought because, as you say, I mean, elderly people that are still, well, I shouldn't say elderly, but older people that are still riding have maybe a lower bone density, and children are still in ossification. They're still growing. There's just such a wide array that this would seem to be quite a complex situation. So Dr. Gould, why don't you give us your best advice for equestrian safety, because you are an expert in equestrian and sports medicine. Give us a little bit of your best advice on safety for parents, for other providers, and speaking to other orthopedics professionals here. If they are seeing riders and they are seeing these kinds of kids in youth sports, what you want them to know and take away from this really important discussion today?
First of all, I echo what Dr. Strom said in that the idea of safety equipment is so important, and this is not necessarily a bad idea. And we think that it has a lot of potential there for it to decrease and diminish injury in this field, which is critically important. However, what we don't have is the risk-benefit ratio. Like, we've been able to look in the automotive industry at airbags and say, these are the people who benefit and can sit in the front seat, and these are the people who can't. And there's nothing like that. Nothing is going to be 100%, no piece of safety equipment, but we have this vacuum of knowledge with these safety vests in terms of who we think could benefit with the vests as they're currently designed and who probably shouldn't be wearing them or wouldn't benefit from them and might actually be harmed from them. We don't have that information yet. And so I think really the answer is not to say that we're anti-vest or come away with from this discussion thinking that, you know, we should just throw all our vests in the garbage, but the answer really is kind of a call to action to be asking our organizations and our industry to provide us with this information to fund the research so that we can understand and hopefully better apply this technology.
Very well said, Dr. Gould, and thank you both so much for joining us. This is not a topic we hear very often, and I think it's just so interesting. And certainly when we talk about safety for sporting events and sports, it's just really so vast, and there's so much to discuss. I really thank you both for joining us. And for more information, please visit our website at uabmedicine.org/physician. That concludes this episode of UAB Medcast. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for joining us today.